Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
And we'll start with something a little different. As I was coming in to sit down, I saw Sean wiping off the counter. And rightfully so. There was an unidentified substance in there. And I didn't wipe it off particularly because I wanted to have this conversation. I saw you wipe it off. It was plenty of that when I came in this morning. The question is, was that asbestos? Or was it just ceiling stuff?
You know, I'm just going to have to tell myself it's just ceiling tile gunk from the construction. It's nice to know it's not just in my head that it's happening like, whatever, 12 feet over me.
You can certainly hear it when you're in there.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so I'm not going. It's not like any sound just sounds like it's happening over
my head.
No, it's
right above us.
Yes, so... It's nice to know they do that on the weekends, not just 10 to noon.
So, because I came in and thought the board looked different, definitely from whatever was coming down. It also looked like the board had been somewhat wiped down. There was less dust in spots. So I was wondering, was there so much of it that someone came in on a weekend? So I had to wipe some of this
on
off.
Sunday?
And they happened to get some dirt that was already there. But I'm hoping. I'm just hoping it's whatever's up there is non-toxic and, you know, just part of the regular old... construction dust, which isn't great either to breathe. I know that to be the case, but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, this building can't be old enough that it's asbestos, right?
Well, I would certainly hope so.
When did we get asbestos out of?
When did that become a thing you can no longer put in places?
Yeah,
that's the question for us. And how old is this building? But either way, maybe some of you guys have caught it when my mic's been on, or even when Lance's mic's been on. But there's been construction here for the last couple of weeks. And it looks like the board got some of the runoff from that.
12 to 3, I'll see if we have any Clorox or anything.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's not like fiberglass insulation.
Whatever it is, it's over.
It's just gunk.
Yeah, I hopefully that's what it is, and we can keep it moving. Some class action thing.
Oh, yeah.
Between all the producers. Oh. In 4 years, we find out.
When Brian McDonald comes down with mesothelioma...
I'm glad you've picked someone for that particular disease. Sorry, Brian. It's you.
But I know I'll have some cash coming my way.
And we'll back Brian. Well, don't be too obvious. Don't set it up like you want to be litigious. Let's just naturally have it happen. And then we'll keep
coming
it moving.
Coming with the neck roll. Neck.
Why is your neck hurting?
All the coughing.
I was so, whiplash. Gave you whiplash, all that coughing. So that is what we're dealing with. What the Astros dealt with. Was a good weekend. They didn't fare too well in the final game of that White Sox series. Ronel Blanco didn't pitch very well, but 2 out of 3. And that's a team who's playing, at least that's a team who's having a pretty good year in the White Sox, and you take two out of three. So after the misery of coming out of the All-Star break where they got swept, and I was like, oh, that's not a good baseball team. They've bounced back to win, at this point, 5 out of 6 after the sweep. So the numbers are, when you just add it all up, they're 5-4 out of the break, which ain't great, but with the Mariners and the Rangers playing over the weekend, the Rangers take 2 out of 3 there. They remain just, what, 2 games back of first place, and now 3 games below 500 with a bad Angels team up next. So all in all, a good bounce back from what was a disappointing beginning to the after All-Star break part of the season. A guy who's been really good is Jeremy Peña. If you look at the numbers, he's hit safely in 10 out of 11 games since he's been back, and that started before the break. Remember, he came back for the 3-game series, I believe, against the Rangers before they went into the All-Star break. He has been dominant as a hitter since he's come back, and the injuries certainly have taken their toll on his season as far as the amount of production you're getting. But when he is out there, he's been outstanding. So if you start to look at his month of July, which his month, unfortunately, because of the injuries, began July 10th, he's got an OPS over 1,200 and a batting average over 400. So this is a guy who's supremely talented. And if we think back to what he was at the beginning of his Astros tenure, we've got a World Series MVP and ALCS MVP. And that felt like, oh, they were certainly right about the decision not to pay Correa. And we know Correa is now back. But the Jeremy Peña decision turned out to be a good one early. And the injuries have kind of clouded some of what he can be, because he was hurt a little bit last year, still played over 130 games. He's only played, I believe, 59 out of a possible, 107 now the Astros have played. So, you'd love to have him on the field, partly because of what he's capable of. Now, the month of July is nuts, but if you just look at his time in the other months, he's got a couple months of hitting over 800 in the OPS-wise, and then another month, the month of April, where he didn't play a lot as well, where he hit 780 OPS. So all in all, he's having a really good year when he can stay on the field, and let's hope that's the case the rest of the way, because even there have been times where it's been a minor thing where he'll miss a day or two, and that happened recently, even after coming back, I believe, from the his stint on the IL. So you just got to keep him on the field because he's been great. You've had his play, and then you have Yordan as two guys who, if anyone pushes back on trading one, you go, yeah, when you watch them play, their everyday ability just to be great, you get why no one wants to get, if you are backing not trading them, you get why you don't want to get rid of them. Why would you get rid of a couple supreme talents who are in their prime? And the Astros, according to the comments by Dana Brown yesterday morning, they will be buyers. They will attempt to help this outfield. And he's come off just simply looking for a left-handed bat. It's now, if we can find a productive player, we will try to acquire them, even if it happens to be a right-hander. So he spoke to 790, and Chandler Rome transcribed some of this. And the reason for their buyer attitude is simple. What we've talked about quite a bit this year, the division is wide open. The wild card is wide open. There's some parity there. There's a lot of teams bunched up. I think the team that gets hot is going to be a team that takes the run. He also goes on to say, even though they're largely a right-handed lineup, that whatever production we can get when it comes to an upgrade, we'll take it. We're looking for some type of offensive bat that can play the outfield. If it's a left-handed bat, great. But any type of offensive upgrade that can help lengthen the lineup would be our focus. So maybe Odysseus is finally on his way home. He's finally got off the island with Charlize Theron, Theron. And you know what? I understand your odyssey of trying to get that left-handed bat. But now it's time to come home, Dana Brown. And if it's a right-handed bat, it's a right-handed bat.
This is just what happens all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, he might still be on the island. It might just be a, you know what, one more bite of the right-handed outfielder, Locust Flower, and then we'll get around.
So you think the Lotus
all
Flower
season, we'll
is
get
the,
to the left-hander.
Is the Lotus Flower the forgetting about a right-hander will do, right-handed bat will do, or is it the or the lotus flower makes him remember that? Because in the movie, forget.
Yeah, no, it makes him forget that he's just said that they plan on getting a left-hander.
Okay.
And he's like, right-hander. I'm on the island of right-handers.
So he hasn't been eating the lotus flower all season long, but he's, but you know.
He just had a little munch.
Someone
before,
fed, it, yeah, fed him to him, fed to it to him in the last week, and he's like, you know what? Maybe a right-handed bat will be fine, too.
And for the, what, third straight year? At least, like, the fourth straight or fifth straight, you know, either deadline or offseason where it started with, we need a left-handed bat. We need a left-handed bat. And other than Jesus Sanchez, it's been, we ended up getting Carlos Correa anyway. Or, hey, we ended up going with a right-handed bat. We couldn't quite make it happen on the left-handed. We'll do that next time. It's like, okay, sure. I whatever. Just he's right that they just need production in the outfield. It actually doesn't really matter if they're left-handed or right-handed. That's how bad their outfield's been. But it is just like, it's Dana Brown gonna Dana Brown. It is just, yeah, left-handed bat. And then a week before the deadline, right-handed wouldn't be too bad.
You know, the man's just looking for some balance in his lineup. And at some point he realizes, we just need production.
I just need to not get fired without ever acquiring a left-handed bat. I really believe that he just throws out left-handed bat as like a, yeah, sure, we need that. That's something I'm working on. When boss asks if I'm busy, I'm saying, yep, looking for a left-handed bat. He's never actually going to get that left-handed bat. Because then what else will? Then he has to lie about trying to get something else. No, left-handed bat. Still working out the details of the Moniak deal. Yeah, Rocky's really driving a hard bargain for Mickey Moniak.
Yeah, we went through the Moniak thing this morning as far as what he looks like away from Coors Field.
Yeah,
woof.
Coors Merchant.
Woof, oof. he
that
has,
gets thrown around lightly. No,
he is bad away from Coors Field. So perhaps. Perhaps maybe put that on the back burner as far as trying to acquire some production. I get it. He bats left and he plays the outfield. It feels like the perfect solution
check,
to Dana Brown's odyssey. But what about the fact that he's only good on Coors Field Island? What about that?
Guys come here and they hit well in Daikin Park, you know? That's what we're always saying.
Yeah,
they love hitting in Daikin Park.
Yeah, for the team who's below 500 at home. Although a lot of that has to do with their less than stellar pitching. But
and for like five straight years of guys complaining about the batter's eye.
Yeah, that's been a thing. That's been a thing. So hopefully Mickey Moniak is not the first option.
He was just the funniest name to be like, I'm working on it.
Yeah, Mickey.
Don't worry, Jim Crane. I'm working on that left-handed bat right now. Yep. You can't fire me. I'm really close to nailing down this left-handed bat.
Jim Crane would never fire you. He'll just let your contract expire, and then that'll be it. I don't have to fire you.
Yeah.
You just, your time will run out.
I still just can't get over that. left-handed bat, a week before the deadline.
At some point, you got to pivot, Sean.
I know.
It took a week.
All he does is pivot. He's George Mikan.
What we say is, Kevin McHale, leave it. What we say is, versatile. The man can't be pinned down. Yeah, sure, left-handed bat. That's how every conversation begins and ends. But at nut-cutting time, as they say, a right-hander will do. I just need production.
And he's right, but it just makes it funny that every year it's like left-handed bat. Man, if we could just balance this lineup with a left-handed bat. It's like, all right, sure. Shouldn't be that hard to get a left-hander after 3 years of saying you want one. But okay, whatever.
And hence why I will always call it Brown's Odyssey. And does he ever come home? I don't know.
He's going home.
I mean, the way it's
the
going
end of the season.
Yeah, but in your version, he gets eaten by a cyclops, so he never gets home. He just has to get away from Houston. So we'll see. But the Astros, good weekend. They take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. The pitching performances from Manuel Blanco in the bullpen yesterday, not great. The 12 runs would make what I just said pretty obvious if you just look at the box score. So they move on, and they got a soft Angels team that they get to possibly take advantage of coming up here. Emi's on the mound against Walbert Urena, who the numbers, at least win-loss, aren't good for him, but the ERA is under 2.8, so not necessarily an advantage for Emi, but it is the Angels, and you need to win this series. Although you haven't been great against the Angels this year. As I remember, you split the opening series and then lost 2 out of 3 in your second series against them. So they haven't really had their way with the Angels, so that needs to change because, as you heard Dana Brown, at least the quotes I read from Dana Brown, the division and the wild card is open, and when you're within 2 games of the leader, Texas, these games against bad baseball teams are important. You need to take 2 out of 3 from this Angels team. So we'll see how it goes in Anaheim. Some other news, and maybe should have been expected, Lance McCullers gets DFA'd. Made a couple appearances with the Brewers, and they had seen enough. So McCullers, is that the end for him? It feels like it, at least for some people. A short stint in Milwaukee ends unceremoniously. When the trade happened, it felt like a bad ending for Lance here at Houston. Wasn't pitching well, wasn't available to pitch very much, and then you get traded to the Brewers along with Colton Gordon for a fielder, Jaden Fielder, who's in A-ball or was in A-ball for the Brewers, now for the Astros. And I'm surprised they went to McCullers, and they did, and they saw what they needed to see. So they gave him a couple shots, and it's over. It's different when you're with the new organization. With the Astros, it seemed like he got unlimited shots to either prove that he was capable or, hey, we're paying you a lot of money, we at least have to see. The Brewers don't have that over them. They don't need to see because they're paying Lance McCullers lots of money. They decided to take on a bit of the contract to make the deal work, but at the end of the day, there was not very much invested, at least on the Brewer side, and once they saw that what they saw from afar was real, like, you know what? Appreciate you, Lance. You got to put on a Brewers jersey. we'll call it a day with you, and best of luck as far as your future endeavors. And that's what the Brewers decided. So once again, not a good ending if it is an ending as far as Lance McCullers and his pitching career is concerned. So the Brewers made that decision to let him go.
Someone's gonna need a pitcher in August.
To do what?
To eat
to
some
just pitch?
Yeah. Just hey, whatever.
You think
the Brewers are like one of the best teams in baseball. It makes sense why they're like see it twice and they're like, nah, we can do better. I'm not saying he's gonna swing anything. Dallas Keuchel like just got signed, didn't he? Dallas Keuchel feels like gets signed every August to pitch one game for someone. Like
this time the A's, right?
Yeah, just like I don't know. The chances are, if he wants to, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just like, you know what, had a good run, made some money. I fully want to pivot to, you know, whatever, but probably being a broadcaster of some sort. It's just kind of what everyone always thought he would do.
Yeah. But. And when you think about his podcast and all those things, they think that is something he may do. Colton Gordon, not particularly pitching well in the minor leagues for the Brewers either. So,
you know. Ha! Fleeced!
Jaden, just think about what Jaden Fielder would be.
And, boom.
And the cash considerations.
Nothing but upside.
Yeah. At this point, we'll see if Colton Gordon makes it to the big club. As you mentioned, the Brewers, good baseball team. So we'll see if they actually need Colton Gordon at all.
That's the thing. That's why I was surprised that's why I'm surprised McCullers pitched for him. I'm like, wow, they must have. Did everyone get hurt or did they need like a bullpen day or something? What happened? All right.
So Colton,
number 50 was weird, but
so,
okay.
Yeah. So Colton Gordon and his 2 starts with the Brewers minor league club has given up 4 earned runs and 3 earned runs in a combined. So 7 earned runs in a combined 11 innings.
Don't trade with Dana Brown. No, wait. No one listen to this. Trade with Dana Brown, please.
You think Dana Brown's going to earn the reputation in his maybe last year at the Astros of a fleecer? Like if you trade with him,
he's definitely
going to win the trade.
Yeah, see what happened to Kyle Tucker?
I think, true. And the Cubs aren't even dealing with him anymore. He's now in LA.
Yeah.
So I think people, at least the Brewers, came in thinking not to expect much. But hey, if Jaden Fielder gets a hit with the Astros, is it a win? Is it a win?
I think so. Well, if he's the best fielder,
it seems unlikely
to ever put on a
even if he's the third best fielder. But
I mean,
He already is. Stands. Yes, I don't know if there are other fielders coming up.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
But even if he is the third best fielder, and that means a major league career with the Astros, this is a win.
Yeah.
The legacy of Dana Brown. He won the Colton Gordon Lance McCullers trade.
I can't wait to track this when Jaden Fielder's on the Astros in two
at
years.
At 29 years old.
After we've long forgotten Dana Brown.
Yeah, I'll never forget Dana Brown. Because he's my Odysseus at this point. Jaden Fielder, 21.
So in 8 years, what do you
mean? I'm going to go maybe 3 years. 3-4 years, he'll get a couple at bats with the Astros. And that's a win.
Yeah.
For the Astros. And Dana Brown, particularly. All right, we'll go to break with that. There's so much I wanted to get to on Friday, but the LeBron James stuff happened. I still want to get to how, at some point, maybe companies should pay a person not to try their product. Because the Kev on Stage clip that I mentioned where he ate some Arby's has 10 million views. And if you're Arby's, you wish it had zero views, considering his reaction. It's a visual thing, but the audio is pretty funny as well, as he took a bite of one of his favorite company's food, at least fast food places' food, and didn't enjoy it. So we'll get to that. There's some NFL stuff, some off-the-wall NFL stuff to get to. DJ Bienname gave us some news about when we can expect some of the Texans luminaries to speak. Practice is on Wednesday. So we'll talk about that as well. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Myself and Sean, until noon, we will be back.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, last segment we talked a little bit about why, if you are backing Keith Pena and Yordan, if that's what you want, I get it, because when they are right, they're really right. You know, the Nationals are listening to calls on C.J. Abrams. Like, if you're a Nationals fan and C.J. Abrams is your guy, and you get work, and you just hear see the report that your GM is like, yeah, we're not calling, but we're listening. You got to be like, what the F is going on here? Like, he's young. He's got 2 years after this one left, and he's not making a lot of money. Look, I guess if you're a fan, you know the circumstances. Are they likely to pay a guy who's playing at this level? You lost Bryce Harper. You lost Juan Soto. But can we keep one? And right?
James Wood, right there.
That's the one, right?
That's the one.
So when are they gonna listen to offers for him?
Yeah, that is true. That's the thing with like the rebuild thing, or the rebuild, you know, back when it was trade Pena, trade Alvarez, like really reset. Look at the Juan Soto deal. I was like, the Washington Nationals haven't really been relevant since the Juan Soto deal. And now, yeah, they're floating the idea of trading one of the pieces from that deal. It's like, and they already traded Gore. They already traded McKenzie Gore.
So for
it's
more like, prospects. Yeah.
It's like, even if you do get the Juan Soto deal, literally the Juan Soto deal.
You got two what appear to be great players in return.
Yes.
And you're already looking, look, guys, if you blow us over with the offer for a guy who's making $4.2 million this year, he's great, but if you're looking, talk, we'll talk.
Dodgers,
like, if you how could they possibly get a better player return? Like, they trade Juan Soto, you think how are you going to get good players? You get two really good ones,
yeah,
and they're going to
all stars.
How can you do this again? And they're willing to at least listen. If you're a fan of that team, you got to be like, what are we doing here? What's the point of rooting for this team if you're just going to at least even contemplate trading one of our best young players away
again
for more young players? What's the end goal?
Yeah, we got zero. This is the best season. They're, what, 3 games over .500? This is the best season they've had with these guys, and they've had zero playoffs memories, two games over .500. They're basically as good as the Astros are right now, and they made the Juan Soto.
And they're in the race, of course, one game back of the wild card, so they're in a very much a similar position, firmly in the race to make the playoffs, and even floating it out there that, hey, they get blown away, we may trade a guy who's having I talk about Pena's run. Throw Abrams in there as far as recent runs. And they're like, you know what? What do you have to give? to the you mentioned the Dodgers. Jeez.
I mean,
I know they're the clear
just like
villain in all of these. Of course, they would be interested, but
maybe the Red Sox. There were some Pena Red Sox,
and the Astros said, "Nah, we're good here."
Yeah, so maybe they go sniffing around Abrams. I don't like that. Never mind. Sniffing around.
Yes.
Have you seen some of the tweets? People, I've seen some of the baseball insider tweets of like how Bob Nightingale, how Jeff Passan are phrasing the interest some of these teams have in targets. And like,
I haven't seen the compilation of them.
It's like so-and-so is infatuated with whatever. And it's like,
was craving a word I saw
there's
come
one,
pop up?
Yes, they're like, I forget. It's Mason. It's the Yankees and Mason Miller. And it's like they're doing everything but being like saying they'd made a one-wish willow. To
they're obsessed.
They're obsessed with this. They're going to I won't spoil the movie.
I honestly would admire it if those two got together and said, hey, we're going to do a thing here. See what you got. And we'll see who wins this one.
No.
But I feel like it's not on purpose. They're just doing it because they're using words. They're trying to change the way they say interested.
Yes, I get that.
I wish it was a competition to see who could be the most outlandish before someone caught on.
Like
when Steve Kerr was dropping Taylor Swift lyrics in his press conferences and no one picked up on it until it was revealed.
The ultimate long con. Especially with Steve Kerr, who like will get up there and say some stuff like outside the lines of basketball, but even while doing that, he's like, I'll slip in a Taylor Swift lyric
see who picks up on it.
See if whatever Tim Kawakami picks up on this.
So we're doing a lot of baseball here, but I did want to get to this. It's something that I would have gotten to on Friday, but LeBron made his decision. Courtesy of Topps. Did you see that Topps broke the news? Like, when the tweets were coming out from LeBron and Shams, Topps actually had their tweet out first. It was a graphic of LeBron on a Topps card and a Sixers jersey with a signature on it, whether that's fake and superimposed or whatever. But the controversy, or at least the rumors, began because of Topps and Michael Rubin and Fanatics and his connection with the Sixers. He had to divest some interest because of all his connections with NBA players and just players across sports. People are asking. LeBron took a minimum deal from the Sixers. He wasn't going to make much more than that other places. Like, the Heat could have given him more. I think Cleveland, they had James Harden opt out, so they had an opportunity to give him more. But he takes that minimum deal from the Sixers. He doesn't particularly want to live in the city.
Nope.
He didn't do it for family.
F them kids.
Bronny is staying in L.A. We'll see about Bryson and his young daughter. What will happen to them? And this wasn't about money, which it always is for LeBron, despite it all.
Yeah.
He never just takes a lesser deal. He always takes the most he can get.
Is it since the Miami 2010 contract where, like, I think he took a little bit of haircut on the last Lakers one just to, like, duck the tax. Like, he didn't get the actual max,
yeah,
but it's, like, $3 million less or whatever out of making 55. But I think the last time he, like, it was, like, back then, a substantial pay cut was, like, to fit Bosh, Wade, and LeBron all on the same roster. I think that's the last time he actually did it. The only time.
Yeah, and even that, and then he got the extra year, he and Bosch asked for the extra year, and then it cost the draft picks that they make trades to give them the extra year.
Trades,
and then they opted out anyway, so it cost the Heat draft picks, and they didn't even get the extra year from those guys.
Damn, they got screwed.
Yeah, well, Riley
twice.
Riley certainly remembers. he mentioned it in one of his recent sit-down interviews about that. So there is a question being asked, apparently, by NBA teams. Huh. When you think about what the Clippers are involved in, why did he take less? And how did Topps break the news of his announcement? The question would have to be, did he get more? Because he would sign with Topps, whatever, Fanatics. He's going to get a deal. Fanatics owns Topps. So he was going to get a deal from Topps anyway. But did he get a more lucrative deal to sign with a company that is owned by a person closely associated with the Sixers?
Or it's a situation where, yes, 2 years, $8 million, love it, Philadelphia. Wow, Sixers, we're back. Also, you're going to be a Topps featured athlete or Topps ambassador
for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life, a and you're going to make $40 million a year or yeah. whatever doing what? That. Like, that's how we make you good.
Now, that's a theory. The question would be...
I'm just spitballing here.
The only way it becomes something that Pablo should look into, Pablo Torre...
Let's find
although
out.
Although he likely wouldn't. The question would be, would he have gotten that deal if he had signed with the Cavs? Or was it strictly... Was it only based off of signing with the Sixers? That's when it becomes a potential interesting story. If you would have gotten the deal anyway, okay, whatever.
Dan Gilbert being like, how would you like a better rate on your mortgage? that's what I can do.
I'm good, Dan. Thanks right. Thanks for asking.
Mickey Arison? Oh,
Carnival?
What a cruise?
Yeah. LeBron's like, I've looked at your portfolio. I'm not that interested. I've seen what's going on with the cruise industry. Not that interested right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I've seen some troubling stuff.
Yeah, so I'm good here. Topps, the trading cards, Fanatics.
Yeah,
they can get me right. So
they got Brady. I mean, Brady obviously has a deal with Fanatics. Like, given his involvement at Fanatics Fest,
yeah,
what, 2 weekends now ago, that there is obviously like Fanatics does pay even former athletes to like, you know, rep the brand or make appearances or whatever it is. Like, it's not crazy that LeBron could do that. It also probably wouldn't even be unprecedented that like something like that happened. The aspiration thing's crazy because Kawhi Leonard didn't even follow through on like,
yeah, LeBron appears at Fanatics Fest.
Actually plant trees. He never actually planted a tree. They didn't even have one like Instagram post. Like, they just did nothing and he got $20 billion. LeBron, you know,
he shows up.
Yeah, you got to show up at least, but then you show up and you do it and get the money. I think, was that also like a Dirk thing back like at the tail end of the Dallas days where he was taking less to try to get a big fish in free agency, and the idea was like, well, Mark Cuban will just like make it right in the 25 years of his life after he retires from the Dallas Mavericks. I think that was like a thing where they're like, there's going to be like a $25 million documentary made about Dirk Nowitzki's life.
I'm sure it's very interesting. I don't know that it requires that type of investment.
Money launder the fee that way.
Yeah, how many people are going to watch this thing? Like, it's it'll be a Dallas thing. It'll be a Germany thing.
Yeah, but you got it. You know, that's for holding it down so we could sign Chandler Parsons.
Well, they can't all be winners.
No. Hey, you know, you take less and then you see what happens.
That's the thing. Like, players, well within their rights to take however much they want, particularly the best players. You convince a guy to take less, and it's for who? I got to take less for him?
Yeah.
And then you watch it play out, and the player, of course, the max player, who should have been a max player, is like, right, like, I knew I should have took my money, because I'm taking less, and I got the disaster that is the Chandler Parsons contract. And then you're going to come tell me we can't make any moves to get better, because the move I helped facilitate is hampering us from making those moves. That's why LeBron always takes.
Yeah, it's a pretty good, like, yeah.
That's why he takes as much as he can.
Max, figure it out. If you've already won.
What are you asking me for? Got distracted again about the baseball thing. So Jason Stark put out a list, and then we'll go to break with this. He put out a list of his dead, lock, cinch, however that phrase goes, Hall of Famers. Two Astros, one current, one former on the list. Altuve, Justin Verlander, Scherzer are the other guy. He's one of the other guys, along with Trout, Freeman, Betts, Judge, and Ohtani, along with Arenado.
Arenado,
exactly. Which one of these things is not like the other?
I'm sure
I look at the numbers and the numbers are fine. But when I read off the list, Verlander, Scherzer, Trout, Freeman, Betts, Judge, Altuve, Ohtani, and then Arenado, that one stuck out to me like, huh.
Yeah.
All the other ones, I don't even need to look at the numbers. Then when I go with Arenado, I got to investigate. He's a lock for the Hall of Fame. Not that he's not a great player. Not that he doesn't have longevity. But it's not the first thing that pops into my head when I think of Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
Lock, cinch, Hall of Famer.
I mean, 10-time Gold Glover, 8-time
All-Star. Yeah, when you start to look at the stats, it'll start to pile up.
But I guess 367 home runs, it's not nothing.
Yeah, and he's hit 14 this year at 36 years old.
So he probably got another year or two of, like, decent ball in him.
Yeah career batting average of 280, OPS over 840.
I still think he should be in whatever the next rung lower than Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, like, greatest of all time kind of stuff, or greatest of his era kind of stuff. But, yeah, I guess he's in. Sure. I'm looking at it, you do kind of, yeah. I guess I got to hand it to him.
Shout out to Nolan Arenado. Yeah.
59.6 war.
Who never really wanted to be an Astro, despite all the rumors about him potentially being an Astro. That happened. Didn't that happen a couple off seasons in a row? And he was like, actually.
Or I think it was it like
the was the off same season? Off season.
I think it was the off season and then during the season.
Yeah, you're probably right about
like
that.
But or maybe flip. But yeah, it is funny that it's the Astros or it's two former Astros, and then it's guy who played the Astros in the World Series, Max Scherzer, Mike Trout played in their division. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts played him in the playoffs. In Betts' case, several times. Aaron Judge.
We know obviously. The history there.
Nolan Arenado. Sure. Why not? Jose Altuve, one of the greatest Astros of all time. Shohei Ohtani. Like, it is like Astro enemy. What's up, Nolan Arenado? Who, by the way, too good to play for the Astros. You're an enemy, too.
Yeah. You turned us down.
Enemy.
Not through anything you've done on the field, but simply rejecting the opportunity to play for us makes you an enemy, too. So that is Jason Stark's list.
You can't tell the story of recent Lock Hall of Famers, according to Jason Stark.
Without having Astros in some way tied to it. That's just speaks to the level of dominance they've had over the last decade and why some people find this team hard to watch, despite, going on a bit of a run here, because it just reminds you about the good times.
Yeah, and I am glad, just to, actually talk about Altuve in this, I'm glad we don't have to do the pretend, is he going to make it thing?
The only reason it would be a thing is deep-seated Astros dislike, hate, bias, whatever you want to call it. But that's the only reason.
Yeah.
And
they probably will make him sit a couple years. Like, the rest of these guys probably are, first ballot. Maybe not Arenado. I don't know. Sorry, Nolan. But the rest of these guys, Ohtani, Verlander, Betts, Judge, they're just for Trout. They're not going to have to wait. I think Altuve probably will have to, at least a year or two, sit on the ballot.
Yeah, it'll be a topic of conversation, certainly, particularly if his percentage isn't as high as we'd like, if he doesn't make it. So that's for years down the line. All right, we'll go to break. If you guys want to join us, 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll wrap up hour one when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
So we'll close out hour one with this. We'll go quick with this and get to hour two here. Michael Lombardi, the current GM of North Carolina football, has been placed on administrative leave. When the story first broke this morning, you didn't know why. So no one wanted to really jump to conclusions other than a lot of the college football world was like, look at Michael Lombardi. He's out of there because he has not made many friends. He was the NFL guy coming to college football and just evidence that they're just two different sports. And sure, talent acquisition has become a big thing with the portal and NIL. You can do it differently than just simply recruiting. So that may feel like it's NFL free agency. But a lot of people didn't like the attitude of someone who had never really done it on the college level before, and then you team him up with Bill Belichick. I'm sure there was an assumption of success that was not the case in year one, and he's been placed on paid administrative leave following a human resources complaint filed by a former football front office employee. So we did not know what it was before. More reporting was done. And people will immediately ask, was that former football front office employee a woman? That'll be a question people are asking when a human resources thing was filed. It could be simply him berating anyone. It doesn't matter who it is, but when you hear about a man in power, you start to wonder.
College football figure to go down like that.
Yes.
I'll just say that.
Yeah. If you had been in a coma, sure. You said wouldn't be the first.
No, yeah, would not be the first.
I thought you were being.
Talk to, I mean, I'm not sure if he can talk to him now that he's on administrative leave. Talk to their offensive coordinator, Bobby Petrino, about that.
Yeah. It is a prevalent thing in college sports and football, the one we focus on the most. It happens quite a bit. So right now, all we know is it's a former football front office employee. Don't know the gender, but there has been an HR complaint, and he was placed on paid administrative leave. So Michael Lombardi in North Carolina. Hasn't gone great.
No, you could have told me they fired him just because, like, look at last season. That could have been the reason.
Just actual on-field failure.
Point at it. You could see why we want another set of eyes on this. But, yeah, not great. Not great. I guess they don't get buyout money. That's what it is. Free buyout.
Yeah, I'm just reading some of the quote tweets from people. Not a lot of sympathy for Michael Lombardi.
When you come in and say, like, we're going to be the 33rd NFL team and all that. Patriots bravado when, like, I think it's one thing for Belichick to have the Patriots bravado. It's another thing for Michael Lombardi to have that, where no one really attributes a lot of the success in New England to Michael Lombardi. I think most people couldn't tell you what he did on those Patriots teams, like what his job title was. There's going to be some grave dancing when you go 4-8. What'd they go last year? Was not good.
You start to stop paying attention to that team point. I kind of was off them after the last thing I actually paid attention to was the Ludacris concert before their game. But once they got worked by TCU in week one, I stopped really paying attention to UNC football last year. How many games did they wind up winning?
That's not, you know, they weren't exactly Colorado.
No.
Even when they were pulling down a 4-8 season.
They didn't hold people's attention at all last year.
Oh, 4-8. Okay. Just like Colorado.
Yeah, so they did go 4-8, but one of the more ignored 4-8s, even with Bill Belichick as your head coach, it stopped becoming about football pretty quickly and everything else surrounding the program. And Lombardi, as of now, on paid administrative leave. Does he make it and come back? Why would they? If the complaint is egregious, why would you fight for Mike Lombardi?
Yeah, and, I mean, this is where it gets very college football. They pull down another 4-8 season. They're all getting fired.
Yeah.
So who cares?
UNC.
Although they were, you know, I'm looking at it now. Lost to Cal by 3, lost to Virginia by 1. You know? We could be looking at 6-6. Then what would we say? They lost to Duke, 32-35.
The only reason I will want them at 6-6 is to see where Bill Belichick had to spend his holiday season for a bowl game. Where he gets sent.
One of the ones in a baseball stadium.
Well, New York is at least New York. talking about some small.
Boca Bowl?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe he would probably like the weather, but still, it's Boca Raton, which is a place that older people go, so he may fit right in there. But the schedule this year, it's the ACC, so there isn't a lot there, but they do have to play Notre Dame. They go to Clemson early. They host Miami.
Okay.
And, you know.
So they're going 10-2 at best.
I mean, you've got Louisville and Virginia, all teams that were better than them last year. So
8-4 now.
How many teams do I have to mention that you'll stop decreasing their wins? ETSU?
They got them.
TCU?
Didn't look great last time. Didn't look great last time.
That game was at UNC.
This one's in Ireland, right?
Yeah, it's in Ireland. Zero. So it is a neutral site game.
Belichick's taken teams overseas before to play football games.
He knows what it's like.
Yes. Now he did have Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, but
those are little details. At Duke, No Darian Minsa, no Cooper Barkate.
Duke always beats those guys.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for
Bill. They couldn't beat him when they had Drake May.
Well, Drake May didn't beat NC State either, so. Which is
that is true.
Which
there it is UNC football. They find a way to lose all these games.
Yeah. Drake May lost a bad Virginia team. Don't get me on Drake May. I'll keep going.
I know.
All right, we'll go to break with that. That is our one. That is the news from college football world. The GM for North Carolina, close associate to Bill Belichick, on paid administrative leave, Mike Lombardi. All right, we'll go to break. We'll get to hour two when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.